This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
But that's written in the Word of God, so that's a spiritual law, because the Word of God is spiritual law. We have a physical law that says if you come out and take my life without just cause, your life can be taken of you. Well, one day that locked in to me. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came from the Father through a woman and became a man on this earth, took flesh and blood. Well, the devil tried everything in the world to kill him from day one, and he couldn't do it. He tried to get him to sin every way in the world, and he could not. Jesus would absolutely refuse to sin. Then one day, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it makes a statement. If the principalities and powers that have known what they were doing, they would have not crucified the Son of Glory. I'd heard all kinds of people say, well, I crucified Jesus. Or the Jews crucified Jesus. Or the Pharisees crucified Jesus. None of that's true. The principalities and powers crucified Jesus. The Scripture says Satan crucified Jesus. When he tried to kill him and tried to get him to fall in sin, and he would not, in 1 Corinthians 2, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to read that right quick to make sure I'm not wrong, since every time I make a mistake when I don't go look up something, somebody calls me back and says, that's not true, I read that scripture and that's not what it says. Okay, let me make sure that I'm in the right place. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, 8. Oh, it was verse 8. Sorry, verse 8. But none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8. So Satan and his hosts crucified the Son of glory. And he thought that this is the only man on the earth that's ever been here since Adam. He has no sin. I can't get him to sin, so I just kill him. I've tried everything. Nothing works. So I'm going to kill him. So he did. He moved by his demons into the hearts and bodies of men and women. And men and women took Jesus. But actually, the battle was a spiritual battle. So the demons of hell in these people took Jesus to the cross, and they physically put a physical body on the cross, and they killed a man that had no sin in him, none whatsoever. And then as soon as he gave his life on that cross, and he died on that cross, immediately he descended into the lowest hell to pay the price for you and me. And after 3 days, the Father raised him from the dead because there was no sin in him, and death could not hold him. Now then, when he came back to life, the devil had to go underground because he is now defeated and destroyed for the simple reason that he took an innocent man's life. Now then, Jesus can stand before you and say, all power in heaven and earth given to me. How much power? Oh, that don't leave the devil none, does it? He that had the power of death, that is the devil, has now been defeated. So what do? The Lord says, now go and sin no more. And if you do not sin and you keep all my commandments, you shall never see death. That's a little more than you can grasp, isn't it? That's really a little more than the average Christian can grasp. He even says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, that death has already been destroyed. That takes a little. When you think about it, he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And then when he goes over here in 2 Timothy and makes this statement, this is really, I read this verse, there's no telling how many times I read this verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, you got to start thinking like God to grasp this verse. You can't grasp this verse in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh today, this will go right over your head, 90 miles up. But if you're in the Spirit, you'll begin to get a hold of this Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." That's good news, isn't it? Now, how are you going to walk in that? It's going to take some kind of faith to claim that. Every time I come to church, I have people walk up to me and say, "You know, you look younger and more vibrant today than you did last Sunday." I says, "Praise God. I mean, I'm on fire for Jesus." We've had couples out there that be my age, you know, and Cheryl and me will be ministering to them. And after it's all over, we might be talking. I say, "You know, realize that guy's my age?" She said, "Oh, no, 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 he wasn't your age." I said, "Yeah, he said he was born same year I was, or a year before me, or a year after me, or whatever." She said, "Oh, no, 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 that guy's old." She said, "You ain't old." Well, the other night we went to bed together, and I said, "Well, your 16-year-old feels like he's 18 tonight." Because I had worked hard on top of those buildings, and I'd climbed around on them ladders, and I'd been out there working, climbing on my knees, and I'd doing all kinds of stuff, lifting them big old sheets of metal. Dave and I was everything, and we'd worked hard all day, and then I ministered to people till way up in the night. We started at 8 o'clock that morning, and finally at 1:30 in the morning, when Cheryl and I went to bed, I said, "Your 16-year-old's 18 tonight." I'd aged a couple of years that day. But 18's not bad, is it? You can still do some wonderful things at 18. You can have lots of fun at 18. You know. But see, you got to see yourself like this. If my king, our king, your king, my king, has already appeared on this earth and has abolished death and has brought life, life, abundant life. He come to give you what? Life, and give it to you abundantly. And immortality to light through the gospel. Somebody said, "Well, we're going to have immortality when we get to heaven." No, you got it right now if you know it. It's already here. But I'm going to guarantee you, it takes walking in a new level of faith to walk in this. It takes walking in a new level of faith. How many people do you know that have been prayed for multitudes of times and never got a healing? And then they came over here, and we got them to repent of their sins, and they got prayed for, and they got healed. I believe the word. But you know what I teach you? Like somebody, Miss Bobby back there was saying a while ago, she heard me say on one of my tapes, a preacher asked me the other day, he said, "How many speaking engagements have you had this year compared to last year?" I said, "Probably a third." He said, "I knew it." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because when you come to our area and you spoke in the three churches you did," he said, "man, your gospel is hard to follow." Well, what is my gospel? It's the gospel. It's what's written. But Paul said, if you'll do my gospel. His gospel was Jesus' gospel. But my gospel, the one I preach, is what Jesus wrote. And it demands that we have no sin. It demands we walk in love. It demands we can do all these things. It demands that we heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. That's a tough gospel, isn't it? But it works. You lose a lot of friends when you start preaching this, don't we, Ty? We start preaching that Jesus is the healer, the Savior. You lose a lot of friends. It's a hard gospel to follow. But it is the gospel of Christ. Amen. And in these last days, if we don't do what the King says, many of us are going to die prematurely. But if you stand on the Word, like that gentleman that stood up back there a while ago and said what he did, and said that he had been diagnosed with lupus, or leukemia, or whatever he said, if that gentleman right there, when he gets a hold of the real fact that Jesus promised once you repent of every sin of unbelief and get rid of your evil heart of unbelief, which is in Hebrews chapter 3, right down just a little place from where we go. When you get rid of that and you believe that the King bore your sickness and removed your disease, then we can come against that devil that's attacked him and drive him out. And then he'll have who knows how many good years to distribute that $100 million or wherever he wants to distribute. And the devil will not be able to take him out prematurely. But if you don't learn that, that devil will take him out prematurely and that money will go undistributed to whoever God's got it to distribute it to. The devil don't want that money to distribute to nobody in the kingdom. He don't want nobody to have $100 million. I mean, not 10,000 churches, he don't want them to have $100 million. But God does. And we have to realize who the enemy is that come to kill us. And we got to realize we can kick him out in the name of Jesus. And we can walk in divine health. And who knows how many years on this earth God will give us until he's ready to translate us out of here. Just like he translated Smith Wigglesworth at 87. A perfect body with perfect teeth, perfect everything, eyes, health, and not one single thing wrong with his body. And he stood up on the podium that day to preach the Word of God. And the Lord translated him out. And he instantly went home to be with Jesus. No sickness, no disease. A perfect healthy body fell dead on the floor. No sickness, no disease. Translated out by the King. That's the way I want to go home to be with the King. I don't want this nonsense of haul me down to the doctor and put a bunch of drugs in me and let me lay down there for 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months in pain and suffering and my body begins to deteriorate and smell awful. I don't want that. I want a healthy body that when the King says, Thurman, I'm through with you. You're coming to the house today. I say, okay, Lord. Well, let me cast this last demon out, Lord, before I leave. Get somebody set free, saved, or healed. Right, Gloria? Wait just a minute, Lord. There's one more man got a demon. Let me get him. Let me kick him out. Let me get him saved right quick. Now, Lord, I'm ready to come to the house.
All
right. Put one more star in your crown. Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for the beautiful day. We praise you and thank you for the beautiful rain that you're going to bring. Lord, you said if we could agree about anything, and there's many of us in here today are agreeing, Lord, that we've rebuked that devil, Amen. That demons of hell that are causing the problem with the weather, and commanding them to get their hands off, and praising you and thanking you that you're going to bring us a beautiful rain to water this earth. And Lord, we want to thank you for saving every one of us, healing every one of us, and giving us power over the enemy, and all these wonderful promises that you said, because of these great and precious promises, we should become partakers of your divine nature. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for all these promises and for a privilege to be in the battle. Lord, thank you. Thank you for training us to be your sons and daughters. And Lord, thank you that you're our Lord and our God. And we give you all praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.